The Lord be with you. Our chapel speaker today is David Anderson, president of the college and a graduate of the class of 1974. He has chosen for his scripture today John chapter 9, which is the story of Jesus healing a person born blind and about all the ways human beings do and don't see things. So our prayer is based on that passage. Let us pray. Holy God, why is it that we look but do not see? Bring us again and again into your light until your ways become visible to us and bear fruit in us. Touch us so that we are utterly changed, a before and after, a now and then, that we may also say, one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 520. Dearest Jesus, at your word, 520.
A reading from the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter. As he walked along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him,
Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?
Jesus answered,
Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him,
Go, wash in the pool of Siloam,
which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask,
Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?
Some were saying,
It is he.
Others were saying,
No, but someone like him.
He kept saying,
I am the man.
But they kept asking him,
Then how were your eyes opened?
He answered,
The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, Go to Siloam and wash. Then I washed and went and received my sight.
They said to him,
Well, where is he?
He said,
I do not know.
They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them,
He put mud on my eyes, then I washed. Now I see.
Some of the Pharisees said,
This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath.
But others said,
How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?
And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man,
What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened?
He said,
He is a prophet.
The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them,
Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?
His parents answered,
We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes.
Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself.
His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, He is of age. Ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him,
Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner.
He answered,
I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see.
They said to him,
What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?
He answered them,
I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?
Then they reviled him, saying,
You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from.
The man answered,
Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.
They answered him,
You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?
And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said,
Do you believe in the Son of Man?
He answered,
And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him.
Jesus said to him,
You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he.
He said,
Lord, I believe.
And he worshiped him. Jesus said,
I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind.
Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him,
Surely we are not blind, are we?
Jesus said to them,
If you were blind, you would not have sin.
But now that you say we see, your sin remains.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you join me in thanking the Reader's Theater for sharing the gospel with us this morning? Thank you. The story from John that you just heard holds a special meaning for me because vision has been very much on my mind recently. Over the Christmas holidays, I elected to have surgery to remove cataracts from both of my eyes. A cataract is a clouding of the normally clear lens of your eye, and it's one of the consequences of aging. Cataracts mostly develop slowly, and you aren't even aware of them at first, but eventually they begin to interfere with your vision. You feel as though you're always looking through a slightly fogged up window. You're always turning on more lights to read. You're increasing the font size on documents. Or in my case, you're sitting right there in my usual spot in chapel. You're looking up at the chancel, and Pastor Katie has somehow started to seem blurry. Surgery makes it sound a lot more dramatic than it really is. In 12 and a half minutes, a doctor removes the cataract from your eye, removes the lens you were born with that enables you to see, puts in a new one that improves your vision, and you get up and walk away. That's it. Our gospel text today relates the story of a miracle, but it seems like a modern miracle of medicine to me that this can even be done. There was one funny moment right before the surgery on the first eye. Before they do the surgery, nurses prep you by putting in eye drops that dilate your eye. This happens in the prep room. But the day of my surgery, all the prep rooms were full, so I was relocated to the hospital's birthing center, where there was an open space. Much more luxurious, by the way, than the prep rooms. My spouse, Priscilla, was pretty surprised to find me in there when they showed her in. And just as she was about to say something along the lines of, "You have a lot of explaining to do, Buster," the nurse exclaimed to me, "You are dilating really well." And she laughed and said, "I've never said that to a man before in the birthing center." So at any rate, surgery went fine. I ended up with slightly better than 20/20 vision. It was just a great outcome. This experience helps me to relate in a small way to the experience of the man in our story who was given the gift of vision by Jesus. Obviously, having cataracts is a very far cry from blindness, and I certainly don't want to minimize the challenges faced by those with impaired or no vision by comparing it to my common situation, but I do have some sense of what it feels like to experience the sudden clarity with which you relate visually to the world when your eyesight improves as suddenly and dramatically as mine did with this procedure. Imagine what it must have been like for the man born blind in this story to suddenly, unexpectedly, dramatically experience for the first time the light, the contours, the colors, the depth of vision that the sighted are privileged to enjoy. It's no wonder that when the Pharisees tried to get him to say that Jesus is a sinner because he performed this miracle on a Sabbath, the blind man is a lot less interested in the rules and a lot more interested in the extraordinary and life-changing thing that just happened to him. That's when he says, "Whether he's a sinner, I don't know, but one thing I do know, though I was blind, now I see." The metaphor that equates vision to understanding is an ancient one. Lots of examples. Think of that moment in Sophocles' Oedipus Rex when Oedipus, learning that he's murdered his father and married his mother, blinds himself with the pin that holds his cloak on as an acknowledgement of how blinded he has been by his pride and thus unable to see, that is to understand, what he was doing. Think of that harrowing moment in the beginning of Act 4 of Shakespeare's King Lear, when the Earl of Gloucester's eyes are plucked out of his head by Lear's horrible daughter, the consequence of his having been physically sighted but intellectually blind all along to the treachery of his illegitimate son Edmund and to the love and loyalty of his son Edgar. When we want to talk about understanding, we talk about it figuratively as the ability to see. The sighted understand, the blind are led to their destruction. Oedipus and Gloucester, like the Pharisees in today's story, are vehement in their understanding of the world, so vehement that they become literally blinded. And it's only after they become blind that they see. Only then do they realize the errors they've made, and only then do they begin the process of correcting them. The Pharisees in today's gospel story are as blind as Oedipus and Lear. The Apostle Paul uses this same metaphor of vision as understanding in his famous verse from 1 Corinthians. For now we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. He could have said, for now we see dimly because of our cataracts, but when they are removed, we will see clearly. In this verse, he is attributing our dim vision to a basic reality of our human state, which is we're limited in our ability to know, we see dimly, because we're limited by our condition. And when what he calls the complete comes, this partial vision that we have now will become whole. The poet Emily Dickinson recognized the same limitation to our vision and to our understanding in a famous poem. Tell all the truth, but tell it slant. Success in circuit lies, too bright for our infirm delight, the truth's superb surprise. As lightning to the children, eased with explanation kind, the truth must dazzle gradually, or every man be blind. Too bright for our infirm delight, the truth's superb surprise. What does this all mean for us? The Apostle Paul, like Emily Dickinson, recognizes that we all see dimly, and though he looks forward to a better future, one in which we gain insight and thus insight, today's gospel reminds us to be conscious of how well we see and how well we don't see now in our daily lives. So, here's a question. Apart from the limitations of our human condition, what else dims our vision and prevents us from seeing ourselves, those around us, and God more clearly? Stereotyping? Prejudice? Privilege? Intolerance? Selfishness? Anger? Habit? All of these things, and others like them, obstruct our vision of who we are and whose we are. They're the cataracts that stand between ourselves and others, and ourselves and God. Our gospel story shows us two ways to respond to the presence of God in our lives. One is the way of the Pharisees. Spend all your energy looking for ways to deny the truth, make up rules, deny evidence, intimidate witnesses, finally just refuse. The other is the way of the blind man. He was given the gift of sight. Accept God's gifts with gratitude. Acknowledge God's presence in our lives, God's love, and God's saving grace, and worship. That is cataract surgery for the soul. That's what it means to see. Amen.
May Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen.